When the massive earthquake devastated Haiti in January, Alaskan Krista Brelsford and her brother Julian were there at a friend's house that collapsed as they were running to get downstairs. Krista was trapped under debris and ultimately lost her right foot. She considers herself lucky, both because she says she was only trapped for an hour and because Haitians helped her brother free her. Her six-month recovery is a story of significant success. She started a foundation called Krista's Angels that has raised enough money to rebuild the school she and her brother were working at. And she is back to rock and ice climbing, as she had done in the past. She says she's been surprised at how easy it's been to adjust to an artificial limb.
And it's not that different than what I had to do when I was a kid. I'm just 25 now, doing it again. For example, I drive my manual stick shift car without any problems, without any adjustments. I met an amputee who said, oh yeah, I drive my pickup truck. I know another guy who's a commercial truck driver who's got missing both feet. It's different, but it's not any harder.
Have the doctors that you've been working with testing new technology with young people such as yourself who are wanting to do some pretty extreme things, such as rock climbing?
Actually, it's interesting. There's a guy, he's a professor of biomechanics at MIT. His name is Hugh Herr. And I think it was 1984, but in the early 80s, he lost both of his feet in a climbing accident at the age of 17. And he went on to college and became a really, really strong rock climber, and also developed really fantastic new prosthetics. So one of the prosthetics that he's developing right now is an ankle that a computerized ankle that adjusts to the slope of the ground you're walking on. It's not yet ready for release, but it sounds like it'll be a really cool technology when it's developed.
So it would be something closer to a natural bend in an ankle.
Yeah. So the way that I've been saying walking feels like, it feels like I'm wearing a downhill ski boot. Because the major joint that I don't have is an ankle. And the ankles that I, the feet that I'm using rely on springs rather than any computerized anything. So it doesn't, the more I try to bend my ankle forward, the more it resists backwards. Which, once I learned to deal with that, it's not that much of a challenge. But for people who are older or less active, they have a hard time with balance. They tend to have a much harder time with this, without the ankle. And for me, like when I'm out hiking and stuff on non-level ground and on climbing mountains and rocks and stuff, it would be nice to have an ankle that could adjust to the slope of the ground that I'm walking on.
Was there a point in those first few days when things were probably sort of bleak that you thought, man, I'm never going to be able to do what I love to do, rock climbing again? Or did you always just think, I'm going to go back and do this?
I pretty much always thought I'm going to go back and do this. I'd seen Hugh Herr, the guy I mentioned, I'd seen him climbing before. And I figured that if somebody could do it, I could do it. And then I also had vague memories of Oscar Pistorius, who's the runner who almost made it to the Olympics, who's got no feet. And I figured, if somebody can make it to the Olympics, this can't be that bad.
But what about the emotional toll? I would imagine that there has certainly been one. What has that been like, and how has it changed your perspective on life?
I have had to learn to deal with this. What the psychologists say, that losing a limb is a lot like losing a family member. You go through the same stages of grief, and I have. I'm real thankful for my family and Ethan, my fiance Ethan, that they've been there every step of the way, and they've taken really good care of me. So it's hard, but it's not nearly as hard as I would have thought going in.
And you've certainly been busy doing for others. Tell us about Krista's Angels and what's being accomplished in Haiti right now.
I'm actually really proud of that. And it's also been a really important part of my emotional recovery, that figuring out how to give back, how, you know, this is an experience I could have passed on, but I'm turning it into a positive aspect for something else, that there are a bunch of kids who are getting an education right now that if I weren't able to do this, they wouldn't. We've raised enough money to rebuild the Cabwa Community School, which Julian and I were working with. And so that was construction on that was just completed last week. The kids have been in class since early March under tents, and now they can start to go to school inside a building, which is pretty exciting. I also get to use my engineering skills I designed a rainwater harvesting system for the school in order to improve the quality of the water that they store there. So hopefully fewer kids will get sick when they drink it.
So what would you want people to know about your experience over the last 6 months and what you hope to keep on doing for the people of Haiti?
I'm really proud of what we're doing, and I think it's really important to find people who are doing good work and support that. There are a lot of organizations that are doing a lot of good in Haiti right now. We're not the only one. The guys that we were working with in Haiti when we were there are basically what I would call unpaid social workers. They, for no reason other than that they want to make the world a better place, they spend all day, every day, working really hard to try and improve their own community. Four of the guys quit their jobs in order to raise money to build the Kabwa school the first time around. And then when they succeeded in that, but they couldn't find any money to pay any teachers, they continued to teach at the school, basically for free. They show up and from their homes with no electricity, no running water, in button-up T-shirts and nicely pressed pants, because that's the way that they think a teacher should dress, that they're just that committed to what they're doing.
Alaskan Krista Brelsford is a survivor of the Haitian earthquake. She'll be speaking about her experience tomorrow night in Anchorage at St. Mary's Episcopal Church. Links are at our website, aprn.org.